Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
That telephone number, ladies and gentlemen, is 831-0917. Your telephone call gets you direct through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question to comment. My question is to you, is it something that bothers you? Are you concerned about the direction that our government's going in? We must understand, ladies and gentlemen, that the coronavirus, this pandemic, has simply become the vehicle, the apparatus by which the government has taken its stand that it's going to have greater interference, greater involvement in every human life in the United States of America. We'll talk about Bill Gates. We'll talk about Anthony Fauci. We'll talk about Dr. Birx in a moment, and the Gates Foundation and the George Soros involvement, the World Health Organization, and all of the intricacies and the connectivities that makes all of these things come about. But are you concerned about it? If you are, I'd love to hear from you. What are your concerns? Do you think it's okay for the federal government, the state governments, the local governments, the mayors, the governors across America to simply intervene into your private life, to watch you, to listen to you? It's already being done via your cell telephone. It's already being done by those that have Siri in your home, that you're not realizing that all of what you say in your home, whether you speak to Siri or not, is all being recorded, and folks sitting there in these institutions that's monitoring those, listening to, laughing at, making fun of, and in some cases, if it's videotaping you, those then are going out onto the internet. We need to be concerned about the fact, ladies and gentlemen, that Google and Apple have already developed software that will be utilized on your telephones so that you will be able to get close to somebody, and if they have the virus, if they have a elevated temperature, that it will warn you so that you will social distance from them, not just for the pandemic, not just for the coronavirus, but for the foreseeable future. In fact, it's Dr. Fauci that said that handshaking ought to end forever. We should never go back to shaking hands. And ladies and gentlemen, handshaking started back in about the 5th century, and we have some of the documented evidence for that being about the benchmark that we know of record that it started. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the article before the break. The coronavirus bill establishes a national surveillance of health care. And it goes further to say in the article, while it's not clear exactly how this will all work out, the system is not a last-minute decision based on the current emergency. The system has long been supported by the data-hungry healthcare industry, data corporations, and state, local, and federal government agencies. The organization includes $500 million for this implementation, a multi-year campaign to modernize the public health infrastructure in the United States, focused on bringing the public health infrastructure, surveillance system, and workforce into the 21st century. Their combined efforts give us the permissive HIPAA data sharing rule in 2000 and the electronic health record mandate in 2009, forcing every doctor to digitize their patients' data into centralized systems and not allowing the patient to control how their information can be used, how it will be shared, and who it will be shared with, end quote. Health surveillance is unethical, unconstitutional, and un-American, this writer says. No American patient should be faced with the choice between protecting their privacy and securing the access to the care that they need. Ladies and gentlemen, what we're watching is a tectonic shift in what we call privacy in America. What we're doing, we're watching today, as every wall is broken down, every venue and vestige that we've had in the past that protects our liberties and our freedom and giving us the privacy that we need to have or that we should have as Americans, all of this is being removed from us before our very eyes. Here's an article that says, virus tracking technology putting privacy at risk. Ladies and gentlemen, what we're talking about today is Big Brother watching, police state. Now, perhaps you're not familiar with either one of those terms. Big Brother watching in police state is where the government is involved in watching your movement, watching what you listening, what you say, and then monitoring everything that is done and giving rules and regulations and laws to control human activity in America. And that's what we see taking place. Fire striking technology putting privacy at risk, this article says, dated April the 17th, 2020. The use of smartphones to track contagious diseases poses dangers to the privacy and civil liberties, contends the Electronic Frontier Foundation. The group noted that Apple and Google already have announced that they will roll out in May joint application interfaces that will allow proximity tracing. And now listen, ladies and gentlemen, why is proximity tracing so important? It's because Bill Gates has talked about it. Anthony Fauci is talking about it, Dr. Fauci. Dr. Birx has talked about it, where there should be some way of having proximity tracing or tracking to know where you are at all times. And they're using this pandemic, this virus, as a rationale for instituting that in the United States of America so that you can be tracked. We already have, ladies and gentlemen, the system in our cell phones. You can turn your cell phone off. Doesn't make any difference. If you have that phone on your body, you can be found by satellite search system. You can be found up to a 36-inch area, about a square yard of, how would you say, certainty as to where you're located. There's no such thing as not knowing where you are today by cell phone tracking. And they want to now link this with virus tracking, so that you can be traced and tracked. So if you're being tested, when you're tested, and after the testing, there's that tracking that's already going on. But the testing will then give them in the data bank the material, the information on every human being to be traced and tracked. This article says, crises such as the coronavirus pandemic often have been used to create, quote, exceptions to the civil liberties protections that often persist much longer than the crisis itself, end quote. If two people with the apps come close together, they exchange identifiers. If either person is identified with the COVID-19, the others have been who have been close to that person are then notified to separate and do not have anything to do with that person. Ladies and gentlemen, if that's not marking, if that's not identifying, if that's not causing a total breakdown in societal norms in America, nothing on the face of God's green earth could do it. This is what we see the coming end result. This article says among the issues is how accurate the system will be. Will it detect only when people actually meet each other? Or will it also pick up people who merely pass by on the street or on the sidewalk or in your automobile? What about people on the other side of the mall or an apartment building? How about people in the adjacent cars or at the stoplight near you? Another danger would be the creation of a log of users' proximity to others that could be used to show who you associate with, who you see, where you're going, what you're doing, and to interfere with anything that you might be doing in your movement, end quote. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but that's eerie to me. And as Christians, we ought to be vitally concerned, because listen very carefully. The model that we are now following in America, the protocol that we're setting up in place today in the United States of America, is already in full-fledged force in China today. In China today, churches are being closed. Christians are being incarcerated or made to simply disappear. Bibles and Christian materials being burned. Crosses are being taken off buildings. Churches are being bulldozed over in China today. And they've had this artificial intelligence, this watching every move that people make for years now. And it's reached the crescendo that they feel in China that they have the total control of the total populace and can do with them as they please. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, that says the rise of drones. Unmanned vehicles become key tools. Hear me. They're considered key tools in the coronavirus battle. Drones have been used to enforce lockdowns across the world amid the corona pandemic. Among the world, authorities are turning to drones in the battle against the corona pandemic, using them to enforce lockdowns and disinfect urban areas. With dozens of cities in lockdown, the technology has become an important tool in keeping people off the streets. With drones fitted with loudspeakers used to remind the public lockdown measures and admonish the rule breakers to cease and desist. A drone is not going to replace a police officer. That goes without saying. But it's part of the information gathering, according to this particular writer, that says that the drones will be used to gather information on the movement of people. Ladies and gentlemen, my Bible says that after the rapture of the church takes place, the man of sin, the Antichrist, will step on the scene. In your leisure, read Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 through 18. The Antichrist will step on the scene. The scripture says he will be empowered by Satan himself. That is, he will have demonic supernatural powers. In fact, in Daniel chapter 7, verse 23, 24, and 25, Daniel chapter 8, verse 23 and following, it says that the Antichrist will be able to understand dark sayings. That is, he will be supernaturally, demonically empowered to know things and do things and have powers that the average citizen, the average person does not have. And ladies and gentlemen, my Bible says in Revelation chapter 13, verses 3 and following, that the Antichrist will blaspheme the person of God, the place of God, which is the church, and the people of God, which are the Christians today. So, ladies and gentlemen, we need to be aware of where we're headed in America. We need to be concerned about the fact that Christians across America have voluntarily, hear me, voluntarily hidden under the beds, hidden in the closets, hiding in the closets, just because the government says close the church. In fact, I am thankful to have watched a video this morning of a press conference with Ron DeSantis here in the state of Florida, Governor DeSantis. And he says that we have believed data and information that has been incorrect. We've locked down. We're going to open the state of Florida up. Ladies and gentlemen, the lieutenant governor in the state of Texas has made some very dogmatic, very powerful statements that we'll talk about in a moment about what they're doing in the state of Texas and what has happened as a result of resulting in this shutdown in America. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says, coronavirus spurs police to deploy talking drones in Florida, New Jersey, and in other states to enforce social distancing. As authorities enforce social distancing in the battle against the corona, don't be surprised if you hear reminders coming from the sky to separate and to leave where you are. Police departments in Florida and New Jersey have drones with pre-recorded warnings that are deployed if crowds are not following the COVID-19 guidelines. In New Jersey, the Elizabeth Police Department said Tuesday on Facebook that the new models of enforcing social distances is by drone. Further, it says authorities in New Jersey have deployed drones with automated authorized messages urging people to stop gathering if they're breaking the social distance guidelines. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, let me just put in a little Youngblood parenthetical footnote to this article. When the crisis of the pandemic ends, will the drones be parked in the garages of the police headquarters? Or will they continue to use them, finding that they can use them without anything from the citizens saying it's unethical, it's illegal, it's unconstitutional, and we need to stop it? I believe it's time, even at this point, ladies and gentlemen. I said to my wife the other day, if I had a law degree, I'd file about a dozen suits a day against city, state, and national authorities for what's taking place in the restraining of citizens' rights, in the eviscerating of the Bill of Rights that's taking place. I don't know about you, but as a Christian, I'm concerned for the future of God's people and the church and the opportunity, the freedom we have to worship today. If these other freedoms are being taken away, and ladies and gentlemen, during the coronavirus pandemic, people like Governor Northam in Virginia, Governor Northam has signed into law some 212 bills that's become law. About 12 or 14 of those are gun confiscation bills, laws that destroy the Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms, all under the guise and the guidelines and the premise that it is protecting during the coronavirus. We're finding wannabe dictators as mayors and governors across America that's rearing up their head, trying to put in rules and regulations and enforcing on the people that are unethical, illegal, unconstitutional, and unenforceable if challenged in the court of law. And yet we're watching it take place. This article says, these drones will be around the city with an automated message from the mayor telling you, stop gathering, disperse, and go home. According to the police, summonses have and will continue to issue those violations, and the fines range from $1,000 and up. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, the snitch laws that have been put in place by Comrade de Blasio in New York, you can be fined $1,000 if you're reported by the 311 number, the snitch number in New York. And they've already fined 250 people just in the past week. That's $250,000 coming out of the citizens' pockets, even when they're laid off, have no job, no income, and their business is collapsing as a result of the phony farce, fake enforcement of lockdown. And I call it that. It's fake, phony. It is because we're in an election year. It's because the socialist, Marxist, communist Democrats are using this, they're weaponizing this to, in some fashion, to be able to undermine, tear down, and destroy our constitutional system, our capitalistic system, and to destroy the rule of law as we find in America today. And they're doing it to ultimately undermine President Donald J. Trump in his reelection campaign. This is the reason, ladies and gentlemen, Nancy Pelosi and the AOC and her squad and Chuck Schumer and the other socialist, Marxist, communist in Washington tried to have inserted in the previous CARES bill the funding for collapsed businesses and income for those while they're out of work. They wanted to insert in that a guideline, a rule, a regulation, a new law that will say that the election in November will be by mail-in ballot only, where they can harvest ballots and steal the vote. Ladies and gentlemen, Nancy Pelosi could care less about America. Chuck Schumer could care less about America and the citizens. If you don't believe that, look at what they're doing during what is called the pandemic and the lockdown, the shutdown. They're not shut down. They're not locked down. They're not ceasing and desisting their lifestyle. But yet we're supposed to and expected to be obedient citizens to bow and bend and lick the boots, as I call it, of the more-to-be dictators. This article says that when the drones scream out, you've been warned, then you'll get a $1,000 fine. In the initial post, it drew hundreds of comments with many raising privacy concerns. Police clarified on Wednesday that the use of drones is just because we're just trying to save lives. We're not trying to be big brother to anybody. What about, ladies and gentlemen, the Fourth Amendment, the right to have secure yourself, your home, your body, your person without the intervention, without a warrant for searching? It violates the First Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, the 14th Amendment, probably half a dozen others at least, that's taking place today. One governing official said, it's a tool of encouragement to follow the rules, according to the police department and the spokesperson for that department. Ladies and gentlemen, this is onerous. Here's an article that says, ways people are using drones during the coronavirus lockdown. It's giving virtual tours of quarantine cities. Secondly, it's identifying who the sick people really are. And the article goes further when it says in this article, other ways that they're using drones. Shame from above. That's the key. Shame from above. As reported in the New York Times, Britain's police force has been using drones to capture footage of people flaunting the county's social distancing guidelines and then tweeting it out. Despite the outcries of activists, the officials concerned about the potential invasion of privacy, police department's profile has so far struck an unprecedented, unrepented tone. We understand that people will have differing views, this article says, about the drones. However, we will not apologize for using any legal and appropriate method of keeping people safe. Goes further to say the Chinese government, which has long used technology to support its authoritarian regime, has been more ardent in its use of drones and enforcement of social distancing, according to the outlet. the state-controlled news outlet reported in January that the police of what they're doing, the city of 6 million has been using drones equipped with loudspeakers to deter people from any congesting or any gathering or anything that disobeys the rules and the regulations of their municipality. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm concerned about where we're going, but listen very carefully. Let me say this, and we'll look at some other articles to tie some loose ends. Let me say this, and I've said it before, let me just simply state it again. You can take the total numbers of deaths in America in the regular flu season, 2017, look them up, Google them, it's not a secret, 2017, 2018, 2019, and thus far in 2020. And so far, ladies and gentlemen, with the total number of deaths of about 43,000, and any death is sad, any death is bad, any death is grievous, any family that's experienced death in the family as a result of this, I feel for them. I understand and have great compassion for them. But what we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, is the fact that the coronavirus is being weaponized to destroy, to eviscerate, to take away our freedoms. And our religious liberties are on the line in America today, where churches have been forced to close, where churches and pastors have been persecuted and prosecuted as a result of what they call disobeying their regulations. This article says, it's from Liberty Counsel, Matt Staver. Liberty Counsel is now representing many churches and pastors who are being illegally and unconstitutionally targeted by anti-Christian governors and other elected officials who intend on defying the U.S. Department of Justice orders to, quote, leave churches alone. And it goes on to talk about what's happening in the state of Florida, what's happening in Kentucky, what's happening in other states, Virginia and Montana, and what is taking place there as a result of it. For example, Governor Ralph Northam, Virginia, has shuttered churches and criminally charged a pastor because he had 16 people in a 293-seat sanctuary. And he had also the people with the number for separation of 6 feet. In Montana, one must now wear a pink wristband provided by the government to enter any building other than his home. Consider that for a moment. A government agency putting a mark on citizens' hands without which they cannot buy or sell sounds dangerously familiar, doesn't it? And ladies and gentlemen, that's being touted now, state after state, mayor after mayor, governor after mayor across America. They're saying if we're going to open America up, that is, if we're going to let shop owners open their shops, if we're going to let business owners go back to work. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, I think there ought to be a mega major class action suit against the federal government and each state government across America for forcing them to shut down. And every dime, every dollar that's been lost, there needs to be a forced suit in court to see what God will do with it because of the forced shutdown that I believe is unconscionable and it's unconstitutional and I believe totally unenforceable if challenged in the federal courts and gets to the U.S. Supreme Court. It is the most restrictive form of enforcement that could have been taken just to protect us, we the people, from the coronavirus. In fact, the U.S. Department of Justice, the DOJ under William Barr, has said that when it comes to enforcement, there needs to be the least restrictive method used. Least restrictive method used. Hear me. And that's already been validated and verified through U.S. Supreme Court rulings in years gone by. The least restrictive methodology or tool is to be used. Ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us, Big Brother surveillance is watching every citizen. That's taking place now in America. What about the Bill of Rights? This is a police state. Is a police state legal? Is it legal to have Big Brother watching over your backyard, over your back door, where you go and when you come back? Ladies and gentlemen, let's not forget, the Bible gives us some very, very good insight as to what we can expect. I stated it before, and let me restate it. In Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 through 18 in particular, I'm looking at it right page, left column in my Bible. It is verse 14 and following, where the Antichrist, the man of sin, the lawless one, the dictator that will rule the globe, and we're seeing the foreshadowing, we're seeing the stage being set today for these things to happen. You will not be able to buy. You'll not be able to sell. You'll not be able to open your business. You'll not be able to run your business. You'll not be able to eat. You'll not be able to have a home. You'll not be able to rent. You'll not be able to drive a car. You'll not be able to have a vehicle unless you have the mark. And it's called the mark of the beast, better known as the 666 in Revelation 13:18. We're watching the precursor of that now being put in place, where Bill Gates is saying that we need to vaccine every human being. We need to have every human being that will be tested, and then a global vaccination so that every human being will be vaccinated. The ID vaccination is what I'm calling it, where there will be a digital ID that will be inserted in the human being so that you can be traced and tracked, and you can be watched on the face of the globe wherever you may go, ladies and gentlemen. It is a fact that this has already been developed. Bill Gates is now touting the fact that it is available, that they can carry it out, it can be done. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a chilling effect on our rights. It is a chilling effect on where we stand and what we should be able to do in America as free citizens. Now, Robert Fitzgerald Kennedy Jr. is certainly not one that I would align with politically, philosophically, or spiritually, but he's dead right when it comes to the vaccines. I'm going to read you part of an elongated Facebook posting from Robert Kennedy Jr. He says, vaccines for Bill Gates as a strategic philanthropic that fed his many vaccine-related business, including Microsoft's ambition to control global vax ID enterprise and give him dictatorial control over the global health policy, the spear tip of corporate neo-imperialism. I'm reading now from an article by Robert Fitzgerald Kennedy Jr. Gates' obsession with vaccines seems fueled by a messianic conviction that he is ordained to save the world with technology and a godlike willingness to experiment with the lives of lesser human beings. Here's further in the article. Promising to eradicate polio with $1.2 billion, Gates took control of the India National Advisory Board, NAB, mandated 50 polio vaccines up to five times to that of every child age five. Indian doctors blamed Gates' campaign for devastating the vaccine-strain polio epidemic that paralyzed 496,000 children. Hear me, Bill Gates' vaccine paralyzed 496,000 children between 2000 and 2017. In 2017, the Indian government dialed back Gates' vaccine regimen and evicted Gates and his cronies from the NAB. Polio paralysis rates dropped precipitously in 2017 as a result of kicking Gates out. The World Health Organization reluctantly admitted that the global polio explosion in predominantly vaccine strain means it is coming from Bill Gates and the Gates vaccine program. The most frightening epidemics in the Congo, the Philippines, Afghanistan are all linked to Bill Gates and his vaccines. By 2018, three-quarters of the globe's polio cases were from the Bill Gates vaccines. And he goes on and on and on in a three-page article of outlining what Bill Gates vaccines have done around the globe in destroying human beings, in paralyzing human beings, in sterilizing females that have been forced to take the vaccines. And yet, we're wanting Bill Gates to step on the scene and save us in America and give us the ID vaccine that he wants to do. It's already been created. The vaccine is already available, where you can have the chip ID inserted through the vaccine that is by way of an indelible ink that cannot be read other than by a reading device that can read it from a satellite uplink system. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. We're on the very prefaces of going over the slippery slope if we're not careful. We need to, as Christians, stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen. Do not sit down in silence. Do not sit back in quietness. But we need to be heard and seen if we're going to protect our Bill of Rights and what we're doing in America and our churches. Ladies and gentlemen,